Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA, to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
All right, Entree Architect community, it's time for context and clarity. The reason that I come to you every day is so that we can find clarity around the things that matter most to you, the architect. And it doesn't matter if you're the employee of a firm, maybe you dream of starting your own firm. Maybe you even said 2021 is my year and you're on the runway to starting your own firm. Maybe you've had a firm for a year or 10 years or 20 years and you're starting to rethink, reimagine what your firm could or should be. All of the topics that we cover, one topic every day, fall under the broad umbrella of the business of architecture, and they are the need-to-know topics for the success of architects just like you. It's August 11th, 2021, and this is episode number 128 of the Context and Clarity podcast. If you're just finding the podcast, I want you to know that the reason that I record this podcast every day is that I want to inspire you to start the thought process and to spark conversation. Maybe I even want to stir the pot a little. I want to challenge you to think and to explore these topics further, and I want to do something to help you build a better, stronger practice. This week, we're covering different aspects of public relations. I'm finding as we go through the topics this week that there are some small firm architects that didn't think PR was for them or possible for them. So hopefully these conversations are bringing up some actionable ideas for you and your firm. Yesterday we talked about publishing. Once that was the realm of print magazines and newspapers, but there are so many more possibilities today. We covered print, but we also covered the online version of those publications. Of course, there are some online-only publications as well. They don't have a print version. Then we also got into other people's social media, if I can say it that way, and podcasts and video shows. It's a growing and evolving list. Maybe we overlooked some options. If so, you should let me know what you'd add to the list. And if you missed yesterday's episode or our conversation on either the Clubhouse app or in our live stream, or if you just want to dig deeper into this topic, here's what you need to do. First, go back and listen to episode number 127. Second, go to the Entree Architect Community Facebook group and watch the recording of the live Context and Clarity conversation. Now, I know that there are some in our audience who aren't on Facebook, and I appreciate that. But if that's you, I still encourage you to consider making the Entree Architect Community Facebook group the one place that you do go on Facebook. It truly is a community and a supportive community of architects like you. It's a wonderful thing. Now, if this sounds intriguing, but you're still on the fence, I have an easy link that you might be interested in. I use it to take me straight to the group so that I don't have to see any other part of Facebook. If you're interested, the link is entrearchitect.com/group. That's it. It's super simple and it takes you right there. So think about using that link and joining the group, and then think about adding to these live conversations that we have every day. And today at 4 p.m. Eastern, we're going to keep exploring different aspects of public relations for small firm architects. And I wonder if today's topic is one that you would have automatically thrown into the PR category or not. I'm not sure that I necessarily would have at first glance. So today's question is, what's the value of design awards? So there it is, design awards. Do you ever submit for awards? Would you have thought about going after and hopefully winning design awards as being a public relations effort? If you hire a PR firm, award submittals is one of the things that they may work on for you. I didn't think much about that until I considered how many awards are out there. In my past life, I've submitted for some awards and won a few, but almost all of our focus was on AIA awards until I thought back to a previous firm where we won a lot of awards. In that firm, we worked primarily on residential projects at different scales and submitted for a variety of awards. Although most were NAHB, National Association of Home Builders programs, it made sense for our work and our market. That's when it hit me. There are as many award programs as there are publications. Identifying the right awards, submitting for, and winning the award is a lot like working to get published. Now, it seems like submitting for awards is public relations. So I guess I've spent all this time making a case for awards being under the PR category and haven't really touched on the question for the day. So what's the value of design awards? Thinking back to the examples that I shared earlier, I'd say the value of awards, I'm going to talk about one that isn't really a design award. I'd say the value depends on what you do next. If I analyze the value of winning all the awards related to the residential work, I'd say we got a lot out of those because we built a reputation amongst our ideal clients for being an award-winning firm. And since in that arena, the world of the builder, we couldn't have won unless the builder also won. So they also shared in the recognition. I think those were high-value awards for us simply because in that arena, they attracted other builders that wanted to build award-winning projects. So showing up in the awards issue of the magazine really worked for us. If I contrast that against winning the AIA Firm of the Year Award for our state, though, that's a different story. You might think that winning Firm of the Year would really make a difference for us. We certainly thought it would, but it didn't. In fact, it did almost nothing for us. I think there are a couple of reasons that things played out that way. First, Firm of the Year is not niched or specialized to any sort of project like our NAHB awards. So talking about it was sort of like claiming we're the best. Okay, the best at what? What does that even mean? I also know that we didn't really know what to do with the award. We didn't do a good job of getting the word out about winning the award other than some social media and an email blast. And we never thought about trying to tell the story of what being Firm of the Year could mean for our next client. Looking back, that's probably the biggest marketing or PR fail of my career. So I'm back to the value of awards depends on what you do with them. But what about you? Do you submit for awards? What do you think the value of those awards is? Let me know this morning at 9 a.m. in our coffee talk on the Clubhouse app, or this afternoon in today's Context and Clarity conversation at 4 p.m. Eastern in the Entree Architect Community Facebook group. If you want more of the Context and Clarity podcast delivered to you every weekday, subscribe wherever you consume podcasts. And if you love content like this, check out Gable Media. It's the multimedia network for people that care about the built environment, and it's the home of Context and Clarity. With Gable's growing family of podcasts and video channels, I know you'll find something there that interests you. You can learn more at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. And if the topic of today's episode is of particular interest to you and you'd like to dig deeper into it, then join me over on Facebook today at 4 p.m. Eastern inside the Entree Architect Community Facebook group. If you're interested, The link is entrearchitect.com/group. That's where every weekday at 4 p.m., I host Context and Clarity Conversations. And we take these topics, the topics that you hear about in this daily podcast episode, and we dig deeper. We have a conversation in real time to try to find more clarity around the things that matter most to you. So thanks for listening. I hope our time together has inspired you to think about your community and your practice and how you can support those around you. I'll be back here again tomorrow. And in the meantime, I hope you'll join me and the Entree Architect community on Facebook today at 4 p.m. Eastern so we can help each other find more clarity around the topics that matter most, no matter what your context is.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.